What ordinances did you see Ross performing, like besides ordination to patriarchal priesthood?
I don't know that I ever
saw you as a group,
Ross perform any, even ordinations, because he didn't do things in public like that. He mostly did it, you know, as a one-on-one, just you know, whoever was going through a certain ordinance. And I know that, and there is people who complain that Ross never had his endowment and all of that, and this and that about Ross. But you know, Ross was doing the best that he knew how with what he had, with the knowledge that he had. And I remember one time sitting at Ogie's, and I had taken Cheryl, and I don't know if Julie was there, but Cheryl was. Karen and Cheryl were both with me. And there were a lot of people there at Ogie's. And it wasn't the normal corner booth. We had this bigger table, and there were a lot of people. And Ross was there, and Tom was there, and just a lot of people. I don't remember who all was there. But we were talking, and Ross was mostly talking about kombucha because there was mixed company, and, you know, he didn't really get into things. And I was sitting next to him, and the conversation over there went some other way, and he wasn't really involved in it, and I wasn't, and I leaned over to him and I said, "So Ross, what about the endowment?" And he said, "Well, Steve, if it works for you, then use it." And I thought, oh, well, that's an odd answer. You know, that could be interpreted that he doesn't think it's any good. And then I thought about it some more, and I came home, and I thought about it, and I prayed about it. And I thought, well, it does work. It is a part of the gospel. It does work, and we should use it. But not everybody should use it, because it doesn't work for them, because they don't understand it. And so it made me feel better about the changes in the endowment. That the reason that the endowment was taken away by the Lord was because the people didn't understand it. It didn't work for them. It, in fact, it damned them more than helping them. Because it made them responsible for things that they didn't understand. They were making covenants they wouldn't keep. That they didn't know what covenants they were making. And so I really came to understand after that remark from Ross. I mean, he didn't tell me. He never told me what to do, ever. He would give me an ambiguous answer so that I would have to think about it. And he gave it to me in such a way that, what does he mean? And so I'd go and I'd pray about it, and I'd ask Heavenly Father to explain it to me. And it's similar to the way Heavenly Father answers my prayers. He wants me to figure it out. He wants me to think about it. He wants me to give it thought and then bring it to Him and ask Him if my thoughts are correct or not. And so that's what I did with the endowment. And I discovered, the Lord revealed to me why He had allowed the church to change things, the endowment as well as other things. And it was simply because, for the same reason that Moses didn't reveal the law to Israel as a nation, but gave them a carnal law according to their nature, their carnal nature. And so God will do that. He will give us a lesser law, hoping that we can live that. And as we live that, then we can progress to a higher law. And so that made sense to me. And that if the endowment worked for me, then I could still use it. That was the other part of it. That it was okay for me to use what I had been given, because I understood what I had been given, and I was trying to magnify that and live those principles. I understood them. Albeit, on a incomplete level, you know. As time goes on, I understand more and more about those covenants, and that's just a natural progression. You know, you understand more and more as you live those principles. You gain a greater knowledge, and so same for me as it was the church. I understood it differently than they did, and I'm sure that God understands it differently than I do. And so my goal is to understand it the way He does. And I don't want to rest where I am. I want to progress. I want to be a God. I don't want to be Steve McKinley. He's a pretty good guy, but you know, he's got his problems, and I don't want to be him. I tell people I want to be like Nephi, because Nephi is one of my heroes. That guy is awesome. If I could have the understanding of Nephi, oh man, who in their right mind wouldn't choose Nephi over Steve McKinley? I mean, really, why would I be satisfied with this? And Nephi says, oh, the wretched man that I am. And he laments his imperfections. And he understands his imperfections. And he understands the path to exaltation and perfection. And he chooses that. And that's one of the things I admire about him. He was not puffed up in self-righteousness. He understood his position. And he understood what to do to attain perfection. That's why he's one of my heroes. I love him. Hope to meet him. But, you know, Ross would do things like that. He would teach things like that that would cause you to think and use your own mind and your own ability and pray to God. We didn't pray to Ross LeBaron. He didn't want us to do that. And he didn't want us to serve him and honor him. He, you know, he would hold the door open for everybody else, and he'd be the last guy through it. When you'd go into Ogies or out of Ogies, he'd open the door and he'd hold it for you. He wouldn't let you hold the door for him. He'd come and take it out of your hand. That's the way he was, you know, in his life, in his theology, in his practice. That's the way he was. I don't know where we were yesterday with some things, but I think we were talking about his exit from St. George and his last speech that he gave, and the end of his life in Idaho with Jerry Barlow. And oh, here's a funny thing, because this is the human side of Ross. You know, he didn't do everything right. I mean, he probably thought he was doing right, but, you know, he knew he wasn't. I remember sitting up there in Jerry Barlow's house, and Ross was there, and Jerry was doing something else, and it was me and Ross sitting in the living room, and Jerry had the TV on, and I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. His name is Yanni. He's a musician.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got this certain style of music that everybody loves, and it was his concert at the Acropolis. You know, he's got this ancient setting, and he's got all of his people in there making this wonderful music. There's this one place where this lady, this woman, this black woman, is playing this violin like, oh man, it was like on fire. It's beautiful music. Beautiful. And Ross is watching this program, and he says, Steve, this is our music. This is the music for our people. You need to tell everybody, this is our music. And he was so excited with it, you know, like a little kid. And it was. It was beautiful music. Well, okay. There's other beautiful music too. And, you know, but it was fun to see him be stirred with emotion and passion over things. He had an emotional, passionate side. And it was evident. I thought it was funny. I didn't go buy any Yanni music. I enjoyed him. I like him. My wife, Julie, had several of the CDs, and so I'd listen. I listened to it, and it's kind of nice. And you can get carried away with it, but as far as being the music for the kingdom of God, I don't know. Maybe God likes it. I don't know whether he does or not, but maybe he gets as passionate as Ross, probably. It's nice music. I really get excited watching those, listening to those, the Celtic woman. And it's the Celtic music. I don't care about the women. They're fine. They're beautiful. That's fine. But the music just stirs my blood. It's beautiful music. So there are lots of musics out there. But I just tell you that little story because it's a different side of Ross. And I can see how somebody would say, oh, see, he's trying to dictate. He's trying to control everybody. He wants everybody to do the same thing. No, he was excited with that performance. And it was fun to watch. It was fun to see. So if being excited over something is wrong, then I guess he was wrong. If it makes him a fallen prophet, okay, I guess he's a fallen prophet. But you know, Joseph Smith struggled with the same things. Joseph Smith would say things and people would take it wrong. And people would say, well, he's a fallen prophet because now he's saying this and he said that before. And Joseph said, you know, my greatest fear is that people will just blindly follow me and not seek God and follow me. That's in the TPJS somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere near the end. Maybe said it more than once. I don't know. And that's one of the things I admire about Dwayne. Dwayne is really adamant about not being the leader, not being the one that holds the button. But as far as I'm concerned, Dwayne's a pretty good example for me. And he's taught me a lot of things, same way as Ross did. And Ross taught everybody that would listen. And sometimes Ross was wrong. Sometimes he was right. There are people who tell me that Ross thought he was the one mighty and strong. I never heard him say that. He never made that claim. He did claim to be a dispensation head. And I heard him claim that. And he claimed to be one of the dispensation heads and be a member of Adam's patriarchal dispensation head council. And I think what people don't understand, they don't understand the priesthood and how the priesthood works. And Ross had a really good grasp of the priesthood and the keys of the priesthood and all the various priesthoods. You know, Joseph Smith laid out how the temple in Jackson County would be built. Not just the temple, but there were 24 temples. And each temple was after a certain order of the priesthood. And so priesthoods or orders of the priesthood, however you want to say it. And so everybody, all these fundamentalists and everybody We want to talk about the fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood. And then you have a few that were associated with Ross that want to talk about the patriarchal priesthood. And they want to set one above the other. And that one is the fullness and the other is a lesser. And I don't think that's what Ross believed or thought. I think that he saw different aspects of the priesthood in the different orders of the priesthood. And that in that one paper he did a long time ago, it's called the Priesthood Expounded is the name of his paper. Oh, hold on a minute. Mm-hmm.